We are continuing on this journey where we're looking to see who is this Jesus. And if you remember, the way that we've seen that Mark has organized this is he's been giving us these snapshots of various parts of Jesus' life. And today, as we move into chapter 4, he changes the focus just a little bit. And rather than looking at what Jesus has been doing, he's going to take us back to show us some of Jesus' teaching. Now, he's alluded to Jesus' teaching several times before we get to this point, but here he's going to take us into Jesus' teaching. So, if you found your way, let's hear God's word. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat it out on the lake, while all the people were along shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching said, "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Let me just back up just a bit. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that it did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed grown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you specifically today for this teaching about your word. We ask, Father, that you would make us hearers, Father, we ask that you would make us good soil. Father, we ask that you would make us, by your grace, peoples whose life can show a harvest, a crop. A crop that produces more and more. Father, we ask that you would show us what this means. We ask that we would understand and that we would know the joy and the growth that comes from your good gospel. And we thank you for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So as we look at this passage, we have Jesus teaching. And if we look how we're going to go forward, he's going to tell a parable. Then he's going to explain how parables work. And then he's going to explain this parable so that we can understand. So as he begins, he's teaching, and we read that a great big crowd comes and gathers around him, and that he gets out in a boat, and the people are coming to hear him, and they're crowding him. They're all along the seashore, masses and masses of people, and to keep from being crushed, he is sitting or standing in a boat teaching. So we've seen this before. Earlier in the book, this very thing was happening, and he's doing it again. And so this is where it's taking place. Jesus probably gives messages and teaches this way from time to time, regularly. It's probably not the one and only time that this story was told, but Mark takes us this snapshot and gives it to us. By the way, because snapshot, like a picture. Got it? Okay. James, nothing has made me happier this morning than you caring what a snapshot is. I promise. Thank you. This is a reason that parables might read different in different versions of the Gospels, because Jesus probably told them different times. So never let that throw you for a loop. It doesn't mean somebody was making something up if the story works just a little bit different in one book than it does in another. But here, in the midst of this crowd, we have the parable. It says that he began teaching in parables, which are stories that have a meaning deeper than the face value of the story. Okay? Now, if you have the Bible that I'm reading from, the parable starts with the word listen and an exclamation point, right? Okay. Now, some of you probably look at your Bible and you see listen, behold. Anybody says that? Okay. My Bible says that here. No, it doesn't. One of the versions of the Bible I was looking at said, listen, behold. And what Jesus is saying, it's very emphatic. Before he begins to tell this story, he really wants their attention. So, eyes up here, ears open, behold, listen, exclamation point. Something important is coming, okay? So that's how the parable starts. And then he basically tells a story about farming. Not very exciting. It's really not a very exciting story about farming. Let's just look at how that story goes. Kind of funny that it's set up with such a listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. That's what farmers do. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he scattered the seed. Some fell on a path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up. But, and they were choked. They choked the plants so that they could not bear grain. But then still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times. So we have a good farming lesson. He tells the story of anything anybody could have seen with their eyes if they'd have gone out to the field and watched what happened. But then he said something else. Remember how he started? What did he say when he started? He said, listen. At the very end, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So if we're listening and looking, we can look and hear and find some bookends. The beginning, it's, hey, listen. And at the end, if you have ears to hear, hear. Hear this simple story about farming. And the people maybe scratch their heads and say, wow, what is going on here? Jesus wants the people to listen. In Deuteronomy 6:4, a very famous passage in the worship life of the people of God in the Old Testament, says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. That passage is called the Shema because it's based, because the Hebrew word for hear is Shema. He is saying, hear, listen. And in his parable, he's saying the exact same thing. We'll miss it if we don't listen to the listen. Okay? So we got to pay close attention to that listen. And then everybody went away. Well, not everybody, but the crowds went away. And if we look at what comes next, it says, and when he was alone, which means the crowds went away, it was just him and his closest followers, the 12 that we talked about a few weeks ago and others, but a group that was really with him and really wanted to be taught by him. And this is what they say. So Jesus, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those outside, everything is said in parables. So he's saying, you close friends of mine, the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to the ones on the outside, I speak in parables. In these stories that seem very simple but have a deeper meaning underneath them. And then Jesus says something that's actually quite surprising to us. He says, I teach this way so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. That's weird, isn't it? Isn't that weird? Because we think of Jesus as being a very effective teacher, and he was a very effective teacher. But what he's saying here is, I'm talking in a way that what I'm talking about is a little bit hidden, because if people heard it, they might understand and they might get forgiven. It's pretty weird. It makes us stop and go, what is going on here? Jesus happens to be quoting from Isaiah 6. And if we look at just a little bit broader context, we can hear what Jesus is saying here. He says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said," and this is Isaiah speaking, he says, Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." And then God said, then he said, the Lord said, "Go and say to this people." So God is saying, who will I send? Isaiah says, send me. God says, okay, I'm sending you. This is what I want you to say. He says, "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be saved." So this is not something brand new. And what we see is that there is a judgment from God that comes in Jesus' telling of the parables. Okay, we have crowds and crowds and crowds of people who gather to see the show, because they've heard Jesus does amazing things. He heals someone. And maybe they clap and say, "Woohoo! Show us another one." And sometimes Jesus does a miracle where we get to eat and our bellies are full of bread and fish. You gotta come see this. It's awesome. But they're not really there for Jesus. They're really there for the show, for the excitement, which is important because Jesus needed to show the people that he was, in fact, who he claimed to be, and some miracles were a great way to do that. But once he's performed the miracle, the point isn't, can I see another? The point is, this is God's son. This is the Messiah. This is my king that I need to learn from and walk with and trust. At least that wasn't the attitude. That wasn't the attitude of the people. And so, just like in the Old Testament, God puts a judgment on the people by telling them a story with a deep meaning that they can't understand. See, they were so close. But some people might want to understand the message. Just hypothetically, if you heard something and you didn't understand it, what might be a good strategy for understanding what it means? Anybody have an idea? Charlotte, what could you do if you don't understand? Ask. That's a great strategy. And sure enough, those around him asked him. They asked him. He said, "Listen." He said, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." And most walked away, and a few asked them. So you see, He wasn't permanently hiding it from them. He was giving them the opportunity to hear and to obey. And so then he explains the story. He explains the parable. If we pick it up in verse 13, Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" Which in my English Bible sounds a little harsh. Maybe it's harsh in my Greek Bible too, but I'm just like, okay, I'm a little uncomfortable with that answer. But then Jesus goes forward to explain the parable. The implication is, how can you understand if you don't understand? I'm going to explain, and then you'll understand. And then Jesus begins explaining. First, we find out that the farmer sows the word. So the seed is the word of God. So Jesus chose to call the word of God seed. And that's a little different. He's called it other things other places. Some places in the Bible, the word of God is called a lamp, right? So that's a good picture of what the word of God is. Another place, it says the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And if you really think about it, a sword, you know, is impressive. A seed, not too exciting. You know, I said it's kind of an ordinary story about farming. Probably if Jesus told a story about somebody carrying a sword, people would have been a lot more excited. But Jesus told to tell the story about seeds. He says the word of the seeds are the word of God in the story. So the sower is sowing, he's throwing all over the place the word of God. First thing that happens is the word of God lands on the path. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word was sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away, takes away the word that was sown in them. So even though the seed was sown there, it's almost instantly gone. Because the birds came and picked it up in the story, remember? That's what birds do. And what do you feed birds? Seeds. That's what they do. So in his explanation, he's saying for some people, that's just how the word of God is. It's there for a second, they're hard to it, and then it's gone. Because Satan has taken it. By the way, a commentator pointed out that each of these types of soils have shown up in our story already. The Pharisees and teachers of the law were so hard that even when they saw the miracles that the crowds were really impressed by, they were just closed to it. They had a heart that was behaving exactly like this path where the word sets on and it's taken away and it makes no difference whatsoever. Jesus goes on to explain, though, that other seed was sown in rocky places. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. So if we think about the rocky place, that's a place where there's not much soil, but there's a little bit of soil, and stuff can grow there, but not well. If you go hiking to the highest place in the state of Missouri, by the way, that's why it has to rain if the waterfall's going to work, because you're already at the highest place. There's no place for the water to come from. You're at the top. But you will see rocky soil. And it's amazing how stuff manages to grow there. So stuff can grow there, but I did notice something when I was there. No farmers were fighting over the opportunity to try to raise a crop there. It doesn't work good. There's just not enough soil. Jesus says, this is the kind of person that because there's not much soil, But there's a little bit. The seed starts to do something, but it can't put down any roots. So as soon as troubles and persecution comes, it falls away quickly. This is a lot like the crowds that are really excited about the miracles, that want to see the miracles. This is what they were kind of like. They're a pretty good picture of rocky soil. There's some excitement, but there's no root, and nothing ends up having happened. So that's the second kind that Jesus explains. And then the third kind is among the thorns, or the thorny place. And the people hear the word. Let's read it. Still others are like seeds sown among thorns. They hear the word. So the word is heard, but then the worries of life, and he says, and the deceit of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word out, making it unfruitful. This one feels like just a little bit more of a stretch for me when I mentioned the commentators made this observation. But the commentator said, this is kind of like Jesus's family. You know, if we remember them from last week, from the end of the chapter before, they were thinking, they were worried about him. They were afraid maybe he was out of his mind. And even though they had been impressed with him and known him, other stuff was competing for their allegiance. They're like, if he's crazy, what are people going to think of us? And this isn't a good reflection on the family. And you kind of see that dynamic. Did Jesus have that in mind when he told the story? I don't know. But it's a reasonably good picture of how this kind of heart would work when it receives the word. So those things choke it out, and it becomes unfruitful. And then we have the good soil. And in the very last verse, he says, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word. They hear the word, they accept the word, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. And so a 30 times crop would mean you plant one seed and you get 30 seeds. Well, that's pretty good. It's pretty good to get 30 seeds from one seed. Or it might even be you plant one, 30 seeds. That's probably the best way to think about it. And then some things are even more fruitful. They produce 60 times, and then others produce 100 times. And so if it's the word, the crop is the fruit of the word, right? Does that make sense? Very good. So, we begin to see that his story was not a ho-hum story about farming at all. It was a story illustrating the way that God uses his word to produce fruit in the lives of people. What are the implications for us? There are lots. There are lots. We should begin and end with making sure that we are hearing, that we are paying attention, that we are asking, Jesus, what does this mean? Because we might read something in our Bible that's confusing, and we can dig deeper to understand it. That's what it looks like to hear. And there are other wise people you could call if you wanted to help understand. But it would never hurt my feelings if my phone rang and you said, I would really like to understand this better. So it begins with hearing the word. And then, There's another implication that because the word is powerful this way, we should sow the word. We should sow the word. We should give out the word of God in all kinds of contexts. That's kind of what happens at an Easter egg hunt. The word gets thrown out, and it lands on all kinds of different soils. And what's going to happen? We don't know. The job of the sower is to throw the seed. Sometimes what happens is very hidden from the sower, and sometimes you get glimpses of it. Today I read a very sad story. Early in the week, I read that a man who was a freshman basketball player when I was doing my year of law school at Mizzou had gotten very sick with lymphoma. And then as the week went along, the news came out that he'd been put on hospice and he was 44 years old, which would make sense if he was a freshman when I had just graduated from college. And he died this week, and his name was Jeff Warren. He's from rural Michigan. His nickname was the War Horse because he wasn't very flashy, but he got it done. Lots of rebounds, lots of assists, lots of fouls, lots of made free throws, that kind of a guy. Not a highlight on SportsCenter kind of guy, but the kind of guy that no team wins unless you have some of him around. So on the Twitter feed that I was reading, it linked to news, and there were things on his report that he and his family had written, like the burden is easy, the load is light. People talking about his faith, talking about the spiritual sensitive man that he was. And I was like, wow, because that year when I had just graduated from college at Mizzou, Athletes in Action came in to do an exhibition basketball game. And that's basketball players that maybe were high school, maybe were college or pro players, but they've gone into ministry using their basketball as their ministry. And so this team of basketball players that I happen to know raised support from Christians so they could go play basketball at places like University of Missouri, came and played basketball in a preseason game. And then right after the game, one of the basketball players went to center court and invited anybody that was willing to stay, and he told his testimony. He told what Jesus had done in his life. So he sowed seeds all over the basketball court. And some fell in the seats, and some fell in the lines, and some fell in the... Anyway, the seeds went everywhere. So I was involved in Crew, and AIA, Athletes in Action, was there representing Crew, and it got back to me and my friend that Jeff Warren and his roommate Travis Ford, head basketball coach at Oklahoma State University, my father's alma mater, hooray, go Cowboys, Mr. Basketball of state of Kentucky. He's about that tall, Travis Ford. He's about that tall. Mr. Basketball, state of Kentucky. Came to Mizzou for 1 year because he thought Kentucky was going to be on probation. Kentucky wasn't on probation. He went home. I resented a bit. Yep. College. So we ended up getting in the living room of these two freshman basketball players in their apartment. And my friend Dan and I shared the gospel with them. And we talked to them about the same thing that the player for the basketball team had shared with the whole crowd. And things are fuzzy 25 years ago. I know Travis Ford said he was a believer and had been very involved in good churches all of his life. I know that Jeff Warren was very interested and warm I can't remember if he prayed with us. I remember some of these ideas were new to him. I know for sure that a few weeks later, I saw him at a Campus Crusade picnic, which was kind of awesome, because D1 basketball players don't usually come to such events. But I didn't really think much more about the seed or about Jeff Warren until this week when I'm getting ready to preach on seeds. And I hear that one of the most precious things to him as he is dying is the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Sounds like he knows Jesus. What's the point? I didn't know what I was doing. I was just throwing seed. And I wasn't even good at it. And I don't even know if it's the time that I had the privilege of delivering the word that made any difference at all. But what I do begin to see is it appears that God's word did something. And every day, we have the opportunity to throw seed, to put his word out there, not knowing what might happen. Because we don't get to see the rest of the story. In the story, the farmer doesn't hang around and feel bad about the fact that some of his seed fell on hard places. His job was to throw the seed. Well, one of the implications is that's your job too. So we need to hear the word. We need to sow the word. We need to look for the crop. And a seed becomes such a good picture because it's so unimpressive, but it multiplies and grows. If you think in terms of an acorn, which is a special, you know, type of a seed, it's not impressive. Many, many of them in my backyard get devoured by little bitty furry creatures. No one of them is impressive at all. But if you take one acorn and it begins to grow, it can become a mighty oak. And I read the story of where this acorn got down under this amazing ancient monument. And like one of the mysteries was, how did this slab of marble ever get here? Because when they tried to calculate how many horses it would take to drag this marble into place, they just couldn't figure out how you get many horses that close together. It was just there. But over time, do you know what happened? Is that tree grew up in the midst of the marble. And this marble that nobody could figure out how to move, moved. Because the oak tree moved it. One little acorn did more than 100 horses were able to do. And that's a picture of what Jesus is talking about here. And if we think about it from just a little bit of a different angle, that one acorn can produce hundreds of acorns. And if those acorns get planted and just a third of them turn into oak trees, and those oak trees grow up and just a third of them plant more oak trees, the next thing you have is a forest. A forest. And how did it start? One seed. That is the power of the Word of God. So we need to hear it, we need to sow it, and we need to look for that crop. You know why? Because our neighborhood needs that crop. Our world needs that crop. Peter was there when this story was being explained, and it seems likely that Peter never got over it. Because he gave his life to sowing seed. In Peter 1:23, it says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." For all flesh is like grass, its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And then Peter wraps that up by saying, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. And you know what? It's the good word that Jesus, the good news that Jesus just explained to you. Because in his sovereignty, he brought you into that circle by having Mark record this so that we could hear it. So listen. And it's the good news that was preached to you because we get to read Peter explain it to us even today. Who is this Jesus? As our documentary writer continues to ask, who is this Jesus? He's your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your God. He is the Word. Listen to him.